The topic I want to talk about tonight is very much related to the past topics, but I want to move on, where we've finished kind of the hot water issue. But I want to talk about the general issue of showering. Until now, we've spoken primarily about hot water, the hot water tank, the boilers, and the main focus we've spoken about is primarily the issue of washing dishes or, you know, washing your hands. That's really what we've been focusing on. What I want to focus on for tonight, and we'll talk about maybe next week also, I think there's like a part two to this, I want to talk about showering. And I want to talk about showering both in terms of Shabbos and, God willing, if you have time, also showering on Yontif. So let's talk about that. I'll share my screen. We'll go through some of the sources. First, let me make the following comment, which is that when we talk about showering, so all of the issues when it comes to Shabbos and the hot water issues that we spoke about the last 2 weeks, all of those are still very much relevant. Of course, the same way that hot water is heated for, you know, washing your hands or doing dishes, so too hot water is heated for the purpose of showering. And so no matter what, you're going to have all those issues. And I'm not going to go into it, but most of the issues are going to be in some ways potentially worse when you shower just because of the amount of hot water you're using. There's a higher likelihood that the flame or the furnace or whatever the heating element used to heat up the water is going to turn on as a result of your use of the hot water, so there's potentially even a larger issue in terms of showering. And perhaps you could also add, well, no, take back, yeah, I'd say that there's probably a larger issue in that sense. But regardless of that, whether or not you think that there's a biblical prohibition of using hot water on Shabbos or not, and it's going to matter for, you know, other scenarios, but regardless of that, there still is going to be a rabbinic prohibition, even if you could avoid the biblical problem. Even if, let's say, for instance, I could find hot water that was cooked before Shabbos. Let's say, for instance, I own a home and I can turn off my boiler on Friday afternoon. Hot water is very hot. It stays there. It's like a good thermos. You know, it's gonna keep the heat. It's going to retain the heat. I turn off the boiler. I'm sure no cold water is coming in. No, the furnace is not going to turn on. Right, the hot water I'm using right now, that's the only thing that's I'm using. No other issue, that all the water I'm using was heated before Shabbos. Is that permitted? So the Gemara in Shabbos says the following story. This is source number one. My over aver, what is this over aver? What are these transgressors, these sinners that the Gemara refers to? Amar Mishimon ben Pazi, Amar Mishua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Bitchila hayu rochsin b'chamin shiuch mib'er Shabbat. Originally, based on the prohibitions we've included so far, it should have been, in theory, permitted to bathe in hot water, which had been heated before Shabbos, right? The only biblical prohibition is to cook water on Shabbos. There's no biblical prohibition of bathing. So, in theory, if the water has been heated before Shabbos, it should be fine to use on Shabbos. And that's originally what they did. However, hitchilu habalani l'hachem b'Shabbat. What happened is you would have these... the owners, the bathhouse attendants, the owners or people who were in charge of making sure that the public bathhouses had hot water. So they started to cut corners. And they used to start saying that, oh, this water was heated on Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, but actually it was heated on Shabbos, which would be a really big problem because you're benefiting from a transgression on Shabbos. And so what would they do? So therefore, because of this, because they would lie about this, because they would end up using water, which was really cooked on Shabbos instead of only on Friday. So asru et hachamin v'itiru et hazeah. So the rabbis came along and they said we have to prohibit all use of hot water. Even if the hot water is used before Shabbos, it's prohibited. But at that moment, there's like several steps to this prohibition. So originally, they permitted you to go to a shvitz, go to a sauna and to sweat. They allowed you to do that. Ve'adayin hayrochsin b'chamin. Nonetheless, people would still be bathing in hot water, which was cooked on Shabbos. So they would say, oh, I'm not really bathing. All I'm doing is I'm sweating. So I'm only going to the shvitz, to the sauna. So so therefore, they prohibited as well. The zeah prohibited sweating. You can't go to the shvitz either. But they permitted a certain type of the waters of Tiberia, of Tiberias, which aren't really cooked. Nobody, it's they're naturally heated waters. Or nonetheless, people still, because a small amount of permission was allowed, they were allowed to bathe in the hot springs, people would therefore still be bathing in regular hot water that was cooked, that was heated, you know, by hand on Shabbos. When they would make an excuse, oh, really, this is like the hot spring water. So therefore, therefore, they prohibited even hot spring water. You can't bathe even in water which has not been heated at all by humans. But you're allowed to bathe in cold water. Roshin Adavar Omeitla, Mitirlan Hamitvera, Vizeo Bemet Bim Koma Omedet. They saw that now all of a sudden people started following the Alaha, started to not bathe at all on Shabbos. So at that moment they permitted you to bathe in spring water, but they still retained the original prohibition of bathing in any water which is cooked on even on Friday, which is heated on Friday, and as well you can't go to a shvit, you can't go to a sauna. That's what the Gemara, this prohibition that the Gemara refers to, is what often is called in rabbinic literature as Gzeirat Habalanim or Gzeirat Merchatzot, meaning the decree referring to the bathhouses, or the decree, in Hebrew or in Aramaic, and it refers to this rabbinic prohibition that we just saw now in this Gemara, that the rabbis instituted a rabbinic prohibition because people would inevitably end up bathing in water which was heated on Shabbos, so they prohibited you to even use hot water which was heated before Shabbos. And so nowadays, this is the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. We look at source number two. Shulchan Aruch says, "Asur lirchotz kol gufo, is prohibited to bathe your entire body. Afilu kol aver v'aver levad, even if you do it one limb at a time. Afilu b'mayim shochmu be'erev Shabbat." Even if the water has been heated before Friday, so you're not actually being involved in any Torah level prohibition of cooking, you're not actually cooking this Shabbos because it was cooked before Shabbos on Friday afternoon, nonetheless, there's this rabbinic prohibition, bein imhem bekli, bein imhem bekarka. Whether or not the hot water is located in the ground, whether it's located in some type of utensil, even if you take a shower, you pour, the water from a kli onto your body, which is what we would think of as a shower. Even if you shower, if you take a shower, it's also going to be prohibited. Avon mutar lirchot ben panav yadav reglav. However, it is permitted to use hot water, which was heated before Shabbos, to heat up a small part of your body, to heat up your face, your hands, and your feet. So small parts. Hagad, the Rama adds, osharivarim koshi and rochet kol gufo. As long as you don't wash your whole body, it is permitted to use hot water, which is heated before Shabbos. If, though, hot water was cooked on Shabbos, then it'd be prohibited to use anything. You wouldn't be allowed to wash it. You wouldn't be allowed to benefit from that water. You cannot use any of that hot water which was cooked on Shabbos. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. In which case, just to summarize, I guess the most practical statement that comes out of this: you are not allowed to shower on Shabbos. You're not allowed to shower in hot water on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to bathe, take a bath in hot water on Shabbos. That is the halacha. This would be both based on the problem of last week's issues of potentially cooking the hot water when you, it's cold water that enters when you turn on the faucet. That's going to be still potentially an issue. And even if you don't think there's a biblical prohibition, there's going to be this rabbinic prohibition that prevents you from taking a shower, even if the water was cooked before Shabbos. Any questions or comments so far? Great. So all of that is referenced. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a really interesting question. I'm going to actually not answer it now because I think it's a little bit afield. It's a little bit off topic, but it is an interesting question to think about in terms of the Gzeirot. And it's definitely an interesting question in the history of Halacha, both, I guess, for the past. And I guess maybe we'll come back to this at the end, talk about the present, and maybe things could change or not change. And maybe, that type of thought might play a role in that. Let's look. Okay, so that's with regard to hot showers or hot baths. What about cold showers? Allows you to take a cold shower. What about that? So the mugging of rum in source number three. I'm gonna keep this a little shorter. Mugging of rum in source number three says as follows. He quotes from the Maharil, with the Maharil who's a contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes as follows that Yafe noagot nashim she'in tovlot she'lo bizmanam b'shabbat d'mihay taima minhag pashut she'lo lirchot b'tzoni. The Maharil said that there's a custom, it's not relevant for us why this became what the basis of this, but he mentioned he makes a comment that there was a custom at the time, and it's still prevalent as the traditional Ashkenazi custom, that a woman does not go to the mikvah on Friday night when it is not the proper time to do the mikvah. In other words, just to say it in short, a woman who's counting the days in order to go to the mikvah, a woman who has nida, after she does her hesed tara, she counts seven clean days. On the eighth night, that first night after the seven clean days, she can go to the mikvah. That is what's called mikvah bismana, the right time to go to the mikvah. If she goes after the eighth night, she goes the ninth night, the tenth night, whatever it is later on, that's considered to be tevila shelo bismana. And there's still a lot of value in going to the mikvah, you know, even then, for sure. But because it's not exactly the proper time, so the Maharil argued it's better that they don't go to the mikvah. And why not? Why not go to the mikvah on, you know, the ninth night? Why wouldn't you be able to go? So he explains, even though the water is cold, nonetheless, taima deshayach lemigzar mishum schita umishum nos shenos emaim shalav da'an amot bekarmelit umishum shitat gufo kesamim. The quotes are all of these what we call ancillary problems that might arise from going in cold water. Going in water, if you enter cold water, it may be a problem potentially of schita, of squeezing. Maybe you'll squeeze, you know, your water out of your hair. Maybe you'll squeeze, you know, out of a towel. Maybe you'll carry the water if you're going into a river, and you'll carry the water out with you into Rishut HaRabim, into the public domain. There are all sorts of what I call ancillary issues. And so because of all of these ancillary issues, therefore, the Maharil quotes, and Magen Avraham quotes this as well, that there's a good minhag, it's very prevalent Ashkenazi practice to not bathe at all on Shabbos, even in cold water. Right, and this is clearly a minhag that developed after the Gemara. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch explicitly that you're allowed to shower, you're allowed to go in cold water, and yet the Magen Avraham quotes this minhag that the Ashkenazim at least do not bathe or shower in cold water on Shabbos. As I said, as I was trying to say, this Shulchan Aruch and therefore all the Sephardim, they do not have this practice, but this really is the common prevalent practice among Ashkenazim. And this is what we think about when we talk about swimming on Shabbos. Usually these are type of issues. I'm going to kind of pause on these issues, exactly going through what exactly these ancillary issues are, because I actually want to do that next week, I think, and really go through some of these. But we're just going to assume there are these ancillary issues that come up when you take a shower or you bathe. We're going to put a pin in that. The question that I want to raise is, do these ancillary issues, there's this minhag, this custom. So the custom applies when it comes to original minhag, was going to a river to go for a woman going to the mikvah. Does it apply though to a person bathing, or better yet, to a person showering? So the Minchat Yitzchak, one of the contemporary postgame, he writes as follows. He says, it's force number four, the Harei Kvar Mevur Magen Avram, the Minag Pashut Shler Chotz Apitzonim. There's this clear Minag that's spread, and therefore he says, second line, V'im Kein Mitam Ahron Yesh Lachmir Af Bitzir Sur Bebeito Im Lo Mishu Mitzvah. He says, therefore, on this basis, we should also be machmir, we should also be stringent when it comes to showering in your own home. So when it comes to, can you shower in cold water on Shabbos? The answer is, there really should be no prohibition against it, but there is this custom among Ashkenazi Jews that based on these ancillary concerns of what might happen if your body gets wet and how you would, you know, deal with the shower, therefore it's prohibited. That is the common custom. That's the way the Minchat Yitzchak quotes. However, he does note at the end, Mikol Makom, this is the last line, Ra'iti Bachron Mishmakilim Bimkomo Tachalim Me'od Geshu Mitzdayer. In a situation where you're living in a very hot climate and you're really, you know, in pain because it's so hot and you're schwitzing and you really need that cold water. So in that situation, people have been Miko, but otherwise, you really have to be machmir. That's the way the Minchat Yitzchak passes. However, the Moshe Feinstein, a very long shuva, and I cut out most of it, source number five, where he effectively concludes that at the end of the day, he thinks that he's not clear that there really is ever such a minhag. He writes that he said at the very beginning הנה מה שכתבתי בשמאל אל, רחיצה עוד כמו שלא מחתינו בספר רבותינו מנהג לאסור להתקלח במים קרים בשבת הוא באמת. He says, in truth, I've really never seen any such minhag of not showering in cold water on Shabbos recorded in any previous practice of the Rishonim. He says he looked through it all, he really couldn't find it, and he goes through some of the sources, and he's trying to point out that even in the sources that prohibit cold water on Shabbos, that minhag is referring to a case of bathing in a river or something of the like. But there's no mention of showering. And so you can make a very strong distinction between the concern, the ancillary concerns with regard to showering and the ancillary concerns with regard to bathing, and therefore it's not clear that ever such a minhag existed. However, he points out that nonetheless, this is the bottom of that first paragraph, he says, after the three dots, he says, "Umitzad zeh nimnu af milekaleach b'shabbat b'yimot ha'kayis hachamim la'ker af shu rak b'yim sonanim." He said, nonetheless, there really was this minhag that developed that people didn't take showers. And the question he asks is, what is this basis? Is this an actual minhag, an actual custom that, you know, that rabbis sanctioned? Or was this just something that people did because they just refrained from taking showers? Because usually, you know, you like to shower in hot water. So, you know, you're not really going to start asking questions about showering in cold water. You just didn't think about it. But it really was never a minhag. And he says at the last line in the first paragraph, he says, "Im kein eino b'chashivot minhag klal, dehu k'minhag b'taut." It's possible then that this really isn't a minhag at all, but rather it comes from michastron yidiyah, from some type of lack of knowledge on the part of the, you know, the average person. And it really is not a minhag. It's what he calls a minhag b'taut, a mistaken minhag. There really should be no prohibition of showering in cold water on Shabbos. At the end of the day, in the second paragraph, I'm not going to read it inside, but Rav Moshe kind of hedges a bit. He says, at the end of the day, though, because this is the practice that everyone does, he's not sure. Maybe there really could have been a minhag. Maybe there really is a basis for this. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, at the end of the day, he concludes that if you're in a case of tsar, a case of pain, then you're able to take a cold shower, but otherwise you should try following the regular custom and not showering. So, to summarize, when it comes to a cold shower, in theory, there really should be no issue. Indeed, the Sephardim don't think there's an issue. There would, however, for Ashkenazim, there is this very prevalent custom to not bathe in cold water on Shabbos due to a bunch of ancillary issues like shchita, using your towel, and all sorts of issues that we'll talk about next week. And as a result, some poskim believe they should extend that as well, not just from bathing, but also to showering. Rav Moshe was not sure that such an extension made sense. He kind of hedged a bit, and his conclusion was, because he was unsure about what to do, he says you're allowed to do it in the case of tsar. Practically, I'll tell you that I think the minhag is, I understand it, is that most people, at least in the modern Orthodox community, if you really are sweating a lot, really will shower on Shabbos. It comes up a lot, not so much if you're sweating. I mean, if you're like, you know, I guess you're like a kid playing sports on Shabbos, maybe it would come up then. But it would really come up more, I think, if you come home for Shabbos, especially on a, you know, an early Shabbos, middle of the winter, when Shabbos starts at 4:30, you come home late from work and you have no time to shower before Shabbos starts. So I think in that situation, it's pretty common that people that, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. Ideally, it's avoidable, but, you know, worst case scenario, you come home and it's too late to take a hot shower because Shabbos already started. So I think most postmen would allow you to take a cold shower in that scenario. And I think that's a pretty common accepted custom within our circles. Any comments or questions so far? Okay, great. There is an interesting question. Yeah, David, yeah. Oh, I had a question, yes. Oh, I don't need a question, but if you want to ask, you can ask. Yeah, so let's talk about that Rav Moshe's distinction next week. We can talk about that more next week, yeah. Okay, I want to point out two things. First is that there is a Gemara, it actually relates to your question, that seems to potentially differentiate between showering and bathing. The Gemara in source number 6 quotes the Machlokas Tanayim, a 3 Machlokas, not reading inside, but at least the position we hold by Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to showering, hot showers are prohibited, but cold showers would be permitted. That's how they understand this Zera of Merchatzot, this Zera of the bathhouse attendants, that at least the position we hold by is that you would be allowed to take a cold shower. And that certainly is the talk in the Shulchan Aruch. But here you see a distinction between potentially showering and bathing, which will come up more when you talk about Yontiv and showering and bathing on Yontiv. There is one question I want to pose, which is a relevant, very important question, which is, okay, if you're going to shower on Shabbos, what does cold mean and what does hot mean, right? Does cold, last week we talked about cold and hot, the last 2 weeks, when I meant cold, I really meant only using the cold tap water, only using that. Is that what we refer to here? Cold means you can only take, you know, like a freezing cold shower. And in the winter, it really does get very, very cold. Or does cold mean something else? So the Shmir Chavos Kilchata in one of his footnotes quotes from Hillel le David, source number 7, that he thinks that anything which is, he thinks that it clearly, hot water clearly does not mean Yad Soledet, Yad Soledet being the biblically defined line at which point it's considered to be cooking. So it's about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So it can't be that hot because no one showers that hot. Instead, he says, what exactly, to the beat suggests, what exactly is hot water? Hot water, he thinks, is anything, b'efshar dekol shemargishin bo chamimut asur, anything that you feel any heat. So it really would be pretty cold. It'd be anything that, you know, it's like almost anything, lukewarm would be too hot already. It'd have to be below lukewarm. So it has to be like fairly cold. That's the way that he understands it. So it's fairly cold. However, others have a more makel position. Quoted in source 8, source 9, Aruch HaShulchan, for instance, has a suggestion. He's talking about something else, but it's very much relevant to here as well, where he argues that he thinks, what does hot mean? He thinks that hot means actually very hot. It means like scalding hot or very close to it. However, if it's poshrin, which means like lukewarm or tepid, then it definitely should be permissible. It's not a problem at all. We don't really know for sure, and therefore he says nearly with Daiti, this is the last line in source number 8, the chol shenikra cham b'fi ha'olam asur. He says anything that the people in the world call hot water, it's like a hot shower, that's what people would call it, that's going to be prohibited. But if it's something that, you know, people would feel the water, like, oh, this isn't a hot shower, then that would be permitted, right? So that's certainly a much, much more lenient position, which would imply that most lukewarm showers would probably be fine, right? Anytime you take a shower and the boiler, the hot water tank kind of ran out of hot water and you're kind of like annoyed, it's not a very comfortable shower. So that should definitely be permissible according to this definition. Even take a this type of shower, like a lukewarm shower on Shabbos, that would be permitted. Of course, you still have potentially the issues we talked about last week in terms of the hot water, but that's what we talked about last week. But in terms of the Gzeiras Merachatzot, this rabbinic prohibition, this would be permitted. It wouldn't be an issue in this problem. Any questions or comments? I see before, if you take a cold shower, there's a question of what kind of soap you can use that. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. I will go through all the ancillary issues of showering, soap and towels and all sorts of issues that come up next week. Great. Let's move on. I want to mention two other things when it comes to showering on Shabbos. First is that there's this very, very important comment by Akiva Eger, quoted in the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, source number 10, where he says as follows, and this is very important because, as we'll talk about, there was a clear change in the way, think about, that people used to shower back in the day and people shower nowadays. As we all know, showering nowadays is much more prevalent than it was back in the day. In fact, I'll just quote this now. I saw a little chart here. The Atlantic had, like, a few years ago, a whole article with, like, a whole discussion about showering and whole thing. And one of the charts they have, you can see here, percent of people who shower once per day. And you can see in the U.S., for instance, it's above 70% of men and women. Women are always consistently a little bit higher than men, as most people realize, which is that, you know, most people shower really once a day or even sometimes more than once a day. It's very, very common to shower very often. So much so that when I was researching this topic, I actually found that someone quoted that I think in the early 90s, there was a case that appeared in front of the Texas Supreme Court, the state court of Texas, and the court decided that a penitentiary system had to give each of the inmates the ability to shower once a day because it was considered to be a basic need. Right? It became so important, such a basic critical need, that the Texas Supreme Court decided that every penitentiary system had to allow every inmate the right to shower once a day. So it clearly was a change. And so why I bring this up is because it's worth mentioning, this isn't exactly what doesn't matter if you're in a private house or an apartment building. Tuti, what do you mean by private house or apartment building? For what? For showering? The private house or apartment building would only matter in terms of last week's issues. We talked about in terms of like the hot water tank. But in terms of the gzeir of merchatzot, in terms of the this rabbinic prohibition of bathing in hot water, even if the hot water was cooked on Friday or heated on Friday, it wouldn't make a difference where you're located. Either way, it would be rabbinically prohibited. And showering, as we talked about, would be machloket Ashkenazim and Sfardim, right, as we mentioned before. So it wouldn't make a difference. But it is where I do want to mention something irrelevant, that the Sefer Halacha quote, source number 10, that if a person is mitzta'er, afal pi she'eino choli kol haguf, yishlomar demutar lichotz. So Rabbi Akiva Eger, quoted in Sefer Halacha, suggests that if you are actually mitzta'er, if you're in pain, right, you're physically in pain, even if you're not in pain, that halacha is defined as in pain in terms of general refuah, general health issues on Shabbos, but you're in pain, you're really bothered. Like all Shabbos, you're just like thinking to yourself, like, I'm dirty, I feel gross, I feel very dirty. So he thinks you'd be allowed in that case to shower even with hot water, which was heated before Shabbos. Right? So we'd be allowed to, even the gzeir of merchatzot, this rabbinic prohibition, wouldn't apply if you are mitzta'er. That's his position. And now let's move on from that, from Shabbos to Yontif. Any questions left about Shabbos? Great. Okay, so let's move on to Yontif. So Yontif, we have the following rule. Yontif in general tends to be more makil, tends to be more permissible than on Shabbos for a few reasons, primarily because of what's called heter ochel nefesh, because there's a permission to do some to any malachot that relate to food making. That's just why you're allowed to cook on Yontif for Yontif, which is why you have to do a whole sorts of things. And not only are you allowed to cook on Yontif, but the Gemara says as follows. There's machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Look at source number 12. Beit Shammai omrim lo yecham adam chamin deraglav elim kein ru'uin l'shtiya u'Beit Hillel matirin. Beit Shammai says, you're not allowed to heat up hot water on Shabbos unless you're going to drink the hot water. Meaning that you cannot do a malacha of bishul, you cannot cook, do the one of the 39 malachot of cooking on Shabbat, on Yontif, unless you're actually going to drink it. You have to actually want to eat the food. Only ochal nefesh is going to be permitted. Beit Hillel, though, permits you to do so. What is Beit Hillel's rationale? Why are you allowed to heat up hot water in order to wash your feet, which is not, drinking or eating? So the explanation that Gemara gives is because Beit Hillel believes in this in the principle called mitoch. Mitoch shehutra letzorach, hutra shenami shelo letzorach. That because a malacha, a prohibition was permitted for the sake of eating, therefore that same prohibition was permitted on Yontif even when you're not eating. And so, Beit Hillel says, you are therefore allowed to heat up hot water on Shabbos, even if you're not going to drink it, only if you're going to bathe in it, it's still going to be permitted. That's the principle of mitoch. And we use it all the time on Yontif. Yes, if I say Shabbos, I mean Yontif. I apologize. Yeah, I'm much more of a Shabbos. I think a lot more of Shabbos, but I do mean Yontif. I apologize. Therefore, you'd be allowed to, according to Beit Hillel, to do all sorts of malachot, even if for not the purpose of eating on Yontif. Nonetheless, they'd be permitted because mitoch shechur l'sorach, chur shol l'sorach, once that malacha is permitted for a permissible reason for food, it's also going to be permitted for a non-food reason. That's the permission of mitoch. However, the following comment has to be made, because if you take a look at that same Gemara, you'll take a look at that Mishnah, source number 12, and you'll notice that the only thing that Beit Hillel permits is to wash your feet, and by extension, your hands and face, they're all come together. But you're not allowed to, though, wash your entire body. The question is, why not? Why can't I wash my entire body on Yontif in hot water? Why can't I cook hot water in order to take a shower? So there are two explanations in Rishon, two primary schools of thought. The first school of thought is the principle of Tosfot. And Tosfot derives the following principle based on the Gemara and Ketubot. The Gemara and Ketubot says as follows. I'm going to see it outside because we're running out of time. But the Gemara says that when it comes to the principle of Mitoch, when it comes to this rule about learning that you're allowed to Mitoch Shirtcha L'Torah, Shirtcha Shalom L'Torah, that since a malacha was permitted to do for a permissible reason, for food reasons, on Yontif, therefore a non-food reason is also permitted. So the Gemara says that that's not going to be, that's not going to be a blanket rule that allows you to do whatever you want in that malacha. There are going to be limitations. And what are those limitations? So the Gemara says at the very bottom of source 13, Only something which is considered to be davar hashaveh lechol nefesh, meaning something which is utilized by all people, everyone equally does this and benefits from this malacha, that's going to be something which is going to be permitted based on this principle of mitoch. If, though, not everyone benefits from this particular malacha, this particular action, then it's not going to be permitted based on this principle of mitoch. And so, based on this ruling, Tosfot suggests, source number 14, that the reason in the Mishnah that Beit Hillel, we paskin like, does not permit you to wash your whole body, only permits you to wash your feet and your hands and legs, is because as follows, source number 14, Ubeit Hillel matirin v'davka l'raglav, avalechol gufo moded de asur, de davar hashave lechol nefesh b'inan, v'ze en ura'uy el livnei adam yuganim, aval yadav yoraglav shave lechol nefesh. Tosfot argues, why can't you shower, why can't you bathe your entire body on Yontiv? Because you cannot heat up hot, because bathing on Yontiv, bathing your whole body is something which is not defined as equal to everyone, right? Living at a time, in Tosfot's time, right, in the 1200s, not everyone showered every day. People would shower before Shabbos or whatever it is, but it wouldn't be every single day. And therefore, only those people who he calls those people who are a little bit spoiled, I guess, or, people who are really, really wealthy people, only those people are people who shower every single day or bathe every day. Otherwise, nobody bathes every day. People do wash their hands and feet every day, but they don't bathe. And therefore, because it's not something davar shavel chol nefesh, we cannot apply this principle of mitoch. We cannot extend the permissibility of cooking on Yontiv to heating up hot water for the sake of bathing your entire body. That's Tosfot's position. So why can't I bathe my entire body on Shabbat? Why can't I bathe on Yontiv? Tosfot argues because it's not Devar Hashem Lechol Nefesh. Not everyone bathes every day. That's answer number one. Position number two, position of the Rambam and the Rif, is that the reason why is that Mitoch really would apply. You really could extend it. But there's another problem, the problem of the Gzeret Merchatzot. Right, take a look at source number 15. The Rambam quotes this. He says, in theory, everything is permitted. I'm skipping to Melafikach, Mechamin, Chamin, Yomto, Verochetven, Panav Yadav Raglav. And therefore, you are allowed to wash, to heat up hot water on Yontiv in order to wash your hands, face, and feet. However, about Kol Gufo, you're not allowed to wash your entire body. Why not? Mishum Gzeret Merchatz. Because of the prohibition, the rabbinic decree of Merchatzot, of the bathhouses. The decree we saw in the very beginning of this year, that the rabbis decreed that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, which was heated even on Friday afternoon, because of a concern that you might end up doing it on Shabbos, of heating the water on Shabbos itself. As the Rambam argues, that same zera, that same rabbinic decree, applies as well on Yontiv, and for that reason, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Yontiv for your whole body. How do we paskin? Again, the day between these two positions. So I'm not going to read it inside, but basically, at the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. It's really not clear, actually. There's a lot of research on this, but the way that most people understand the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shulchan Aruch himself, Rav Yosef Cairo, for the Sfardim paskins, like the Rambam, and the Ramah, the Moshe Israelites, paskins for the Ashkenazim, like the Tosfot. In other words, Sfardim are concerned of the issue of Gzeres Merchatzot. They can't take a bath on Shabbos because there's a rabbinic decree of using hot water on Shabbos. And for Ashkenazim, the problem is not only the problem of Merchatzot, but also a problem of you can't heat up hot water on Yontiv because it's not considered to be Davar Hashaveh Lechol Nefesh, something which is permissible because not everyone bathes every day on Yontiv. Therefore, because you have these positions, before we analyze positions, I want to just make a comment that what emerges then is that for the Sfardim, you have a rabbinic prohibition of the Gzera Merchatzot. For the Ashkenazim, you might have that as well. It's hard to know how to read the Ramah. But you, as well, in addition, you also have this biblical prohibition of cooking, because cooking would not be permitted on Yontiv because we don't have this permission of Mitoch. However, what's interesting to note is that the Rambam's prohibition, as passing the Shulchan Aruch, this gzera, there's nothing you really can do about this gzera. This gzera kind of exists, and you can't really change the facts on the ground. But when it comes to this question of of the Tosfot, of the Ramah, of the Ashkenazi Pesach. So even though we're dealing with a more stringent prohibition of a biblical prohibition, it is possible that we could change nowadays. And that maybe something which wasn't Davar Shav L'Chol Nefesh back then, nowadays it would be. And so the question we have to ask as Ashkenazim is, can this definition of Shav L'Chol Nefesh, something which everyone uses, everyone benefits from this particular thing, can that change? And as I pointed out, I already talked about this earlier, but nowadays people really do shower all the time. It's not something that people do the same way they used to do back in the past, where they really showered very rarely. And so I didn't quote, there are some Achronim, I didn't quote them here. I had a hard time copying them to the document, but some Achronim feel no. Once the rabbis decreed a certain definition, the Talmud decreed that this is not the Vershav of the Chol Nefesh, we can't change that. We don't have the ability to change. It's not subjective based on, you know, the particular time period. However, others disagree. Others point out, and there are a few of them who point out that, in fact, perhaps something really could change. So, for instance, the Shmir Shavska Chata, he actually paskins, or this is Rav Neubert, paskins that it is prohibited to shower. But in the footnotes, this is not in the main text, it's in the footnotes, he's, you know, obviously hedging, doesn't feel comfortable writing in the main text. But in the footnotes, he points out that there's a lot of reasons to suggest that nowadays things could be different. So if you look at source number 18, for instance, he quotes that Yesh le'ayin k'ayom sh'rov ne adam yesh le'am chedram bati b'beitam l'fachon miklachat. Most people nowadays have a shower or a bathhouse in their home, and therefore ma'ishna mizeah. How is this different from sweating, from shvitzing? That the Gemara clearly thought that originally something davar shav l'chol nefesh, that you could go to a shvitz on yontif, you could go to a sauna on yontif. And as well, I'll give you the perhaps the best example, ma'ishna mi'ishun sigariot. How is this different from smoking? And I'll mention this as an aside, there's a very, very long literature about whether or not you're allowed to smoke on yontif, because smoking would involve melacha of mavir, of lighting a fire. Can I light a fire on yontif for the purpose of smoking? There's a very long literature. Nowadays, of course, most poskim think that you can't because it's very unhealthy. You know, it kills you to smoke. But back then, when they thought, they didn't know that, and they thought that maybe smoking was even healthy, there was a very long literature, and many, many poskim believed that it would be permitted, and because it's something davar hashav l'chol nefesh, that smoking would be considered to be something that is beneficial to everyone. Even though that wasn't something that was found in the Talmud. It was something that was developed much later in like the 17 and 1800s. And so the argument that Rav Shlomo Zalman makes is that maybe then, when it comes to showering should be similar to smoking, something you could define now that could be defined based on each generation. And nowadays, in our generation, showering is something, davar hashav l'chol nefesh, it should be something which should be allowed to do. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument. He doesn't feel so comfortable to say so, even in the, you know, the main text, but he does say it in the footnotes. And so that's one of the main reasons he perhaps could permit it. I know where I said I was going to end. I'll end the next 3 minutes, or anyone wants to go to Mincha, you're able to go, so I'll probably end a bit early. But basically, that's kind of the main take of the issue. And therefore, I'll just kind of get to the end of the day. At the end of the day, here the summary comes from the OU. There's like a really a large number of positions that different rabbis take. Some rabbis argue that you really couldn't shower at all because the prohibition that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the prohibition of the Merchatzot, of the rabbinic decree, as well as the problem of the for Ashkenazim, of potentially of Shav L'Chol Nefesh, these are problems we can't get rid of. These are still a problem, and therefore you'd be prohibited to shower on Yontif in hot or cold water, in theory. Some people, though, permit to think that, no, in theory, maybe you would be allowed to use lukewarm water, because we saw earlier that lukewarm water was not really considered to be, according to some poskim, part of the Gzeirah of Merchatzot. And so if you can use only lukewarm water, so maybe then it's not really part of the original Gzeirah, and maybe also you could agree that Shav L'Chol Nefesh is something that everyone needs to shower, right? You need to deal with both of these issues. You need to deal with both the issue of Gzeirah Merchatzot, of this rabbinic decree, and you have to deal as well for Ashkenazim with the problem of Shav L'Chol Nefesh. So if you think it's not Shav L'Chol Nefesh, you think that now you can't, you know, it's an objective standard based on rabbinic practice, you're never going to be able to change it. You're not going to be able to suggest you're allowed to heat up hot water on Yontif. You won't be able to take a shower on Yontif. If, though, you think that in theory you could, that if the standards change, so then there may be more room. Then you have to deal with the first issue still, the issue of the Gzeirah Merchatzot, this problem of this rabbinic decree. And so there are several solutions that people suggest how to deal with that decree. So one solution people suggest is maybe use lukewarm water. right? If you don't use hot water, or maybe if you're using cold water, that would be better. Solution number two, some people suggest, is maybe showering is different from bathing. Maybe bathing is a problem, but showering could be permitted. Solution number three people bring up is maybe it's a difference between showering your entire body at once versus doing it limb by limb. So there are a number of post-game I know of who suggest that if you're going to shower on Yom Tov, what you should do is you shouldn't put your whole body under the water at one time. Rather, you should shower, you should wash your arm, and then your legs, and then your chest, and then your head, right? Do it like piece by piece. So that's, and then a fourth possible distinction some people make is potentially make the friendship between several days of Yom Tov, between like the first day of Yom Tov and the second day or third day of Yom Tov, right? A longer Yom Tov potentially is more room to permit. I'll mention, I'm going to end here. But pretty much I'm rushing a little bit out of time because I want people to be able to go to Mincha. But in short, really is a large range of positions on this issue. It really depends on your posek, but these are kind of the main issues. When it comes to showering on Yom Tov, the main issues are these two potential problems: the problem of the rabbinic prohibition of Seir and Merech Chatzot, as well as this potentially biblical prohibition of cooking hot water on Yom Tov, and in which you would not apply the principle of mitoch because it's not considered to be davar hashav l'chol nefesh. Not everyone showers on Yom Tov, on showers regularly. If you thought that showering regularly was something that could be changed, that standard wasn't an objective standard but rather was subjective to each generation, then you would obviate the need to the second problem, but you still have to deal with the first problem. And there's of merchatzot, this rabbinic prohibition, and there are all sorts of solutions how to deal with it. At the end of the day, in terms of psak, I would ask your local Orthodox rabbi how to deal with it. We'll talk about this more next week because I deal with some of the issues. I'm going to stop here in terms of like recording in terms of the shir, but I'm still going to stay on. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask now.